Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krimery. Thank you for tuning in. There's a small pool of candidates running for the open Juneau Assembly and Board of Education seats in this fall's local election. The candidate filing period for the 2025 municipal election closed yesterday. Half a dozen seats are open for the October 7th election, three on the Juneau Assembly and three on the Juneau School District Board of Education. Incumbent Assembly members Greg Smith and Ella Atkison are running uncontested for their seats. Assembly member Wade Bryson faces one other candidate, Nana Brooks, who has unsuccessfully run for an assembly seat for the past 2 years. At an assembly meeting last night, Bryson said he's excited to face some competition.
The topics are going to be up. We're going to have more discussion. I'm quite proud of all of my work that I've done here on the assembly, so I look forward to being able to showcase that as we move some of the city topics forward.
Both Smith and Bryson are finishing up their second full three-year terms. Atkison is finishing her first partial term after she was elected in 2023 to serve the remaining 2 years in the term of Assemblymember Carol Treem, who resigned. At the meeting, Atkison says she suspects that state and federal issues might be pulling people's attention away from local politics.
It definitely does surprise me. I fully expected to have an opponent. And, you know, I think obviously when more people run, it's a sign of a, you know, healthy local municipal democracy. But I think right now, frankly, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Four people are running for the two full-term and one partial-term seats open on the Juneau School Board this election. The candidates are Jeremy Johnson, Jenny Thomas, Melissa Cullum, and Steve Whitney. Thomas unsuccessfully ran for a seat last election and led a recall effort of the board's president and vice president. She and Cullum were outspoken critics of the board's decision to consolidate Juneau's high schools and middle schools. Board President Dee Dee Sorensen and member Emil Mackey currently fill the full open-term seats. Both members told KTO last week that they would not be running for re-election. The winner of the partial-term school board seat will complete the remaining 2 years of the former member Will Muldoon's term. He abruptly resigned this spring. Whitney was elected by the board to fill Muldoon's position until voters elect a new full-time member. This year's election is on Tuesday, October 7th. Ballots will be mailed to registered voters beginning on September 19th. And last night, the Juneau Assembly approved a ballot question asking voters whether the city should implement a new seasonal sales tax system. The city wants to take greater advantage of the 1.7 million cruise ship visitors that come to town every summer. But as KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, not everyone thinks it's a good deal for year-round residents.
I have a question for you. What in the world are you doing?
That's Tom Williams, an Auk Bay resident who testified at the Juneau Assembly meeting on Monday night. Williams is referring to a new seasonal sales tax system proposed by some assembly members earlier this year. At the meeting, assembly members approved putting the question on the local ballot this fall. That's despite Williams and a few other testifiers who argued it's a bad idea.
I think you need to get back and start to go back and figure out who you work for. Because all you're doing with this seasonal sales tax approach is squeezing a balloon.
Assembly members say the change is meant to capitalize on cruise ship tourism spending. Right now, Juneau has a fixed 5% local sales tax rate. It's made up of both permanent and temporary taxes that help pay for general government costs, some specific voter-approved projects, and community priorities like childcare support. The proposed seasonal sales tax system would change that. It would bump the rate up to a 7.5% tax from April through September and then drop it down to a 3% tax from October through March. Nearby Southeast Alaska towns like Ketchikan, Sitka, and Skagway have already adopted similar seasonal tax structures. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith says he thinks Juneau would benefit by doing the same.
When we talked about doing this in December, it was to hopefully help people see and feel that I am going to be paying less in taxes and my family will benefit due to tourism. A seasonal sales tax does that.
Earlier this summer, assembly members removed a part of the original proposal that would have used the additional revenue from the new system to help offset the cost of removing local sales tax on food and utilities. That's because an advocacy group called the Affordable Juneau Coalition gathered enough signatures this spring to put the question on the ballot already. Angela Rodell, a member of the group, testified against the seasonal tax proposal on Monday. She argued it would financially hurt residents more than it would benefit them.
At a time when many in our community are already struggling with the rising cost of living, housing, food, childcare, utilities, substantially increasing the sales tax for 6 months over the summer is not only ill-timed, It is fundamentally unaffordable for working families and individuals on fixed incomes.
Assemblymember Wade Bryson says the seasonal structure is needed to help recoup the estimated $9 million loss in annual sales tax revenue the city could face if sales tax is removed on food and utilities.
Allowing the citizens to answer the questions at the same time gives the citizens, gives all the voters, a chance to say yes or no if they want a giant hole in the budget. Do they want all of our social services to go away?
The city recently notified local organizations that receive city grants that it would be withholding a portion of their funding until the election due to, quote, the potential of significant revenue loss if the citizen initiatives pass. Those organizations include the Juneau Community Foundation, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and, full disclosure, KTOO. Voting in this year's by-mail municipal election ends on October 7th. Ballots will be mailed to registered voters beginning on September 19th. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And organizers of a tiny home neighborhood in Anchorage meant to transition people out of homelessness say the pilot project is succeeding. Now the city is looking to launch its own version. Alaska Public Media's Hannah Floor has a story.
Until recently, Willie Martin was homeless, couch surfing and staying in shelters.
I tell people now, oh, I live in a gated community. And it is, you know.
Now he lives in a tiny home. It's one of six, a little neighborhood on a fenced-in corner of the Central Lutheran Church parking lot off a busy road near downtown Anchorage. The home is tiny. There's a twin bed, a small fridge with a microwave on top. With Martin's suitcase of things, there's not much standing room. There's also no plumbing. The toilets and showers are separate, shared with the people in the other tiny homes. After 3 months in his little house, Martin's looking for a place to rent, and then a job. But his aspirations don't end there.
I mean, I'm still looking for that rich widow, you know, but that's in down the line.
It's the first time anyone's used tiny homes to address homelessness in the city. A nonprofit called In Our Backyard opened them for occupancy last fall. It was a test project. Could they make this model work? They say they can, and they believe the project can be duplicated. In fact, efforts to do so are already underway. Julie Greengram is the chair of In Our Backyard. She says the project came together because so many people wanted to pitch in.
We just can't live in a society where we look away. So we have to face it, you know, look at the people and say, what can I do to help you?
The tiny homes are meant to be a transition between homelessness and permanent housing. But Greengram says the project also asks the question, how can we lift you up so you feel human again? She says part of that comes from feeling safe. Residents of In Our Backyard can lock their doors. And she says freedom and independence give them dignity. That's sometimes tough to come by in shelters where curfews and bag searches are the norm. Even small things, Greengram says one tiny home guest told her he was delighted just to decide when to turn the lights off and on.
There's so many barriers that if you're housed, you don't think about it and you take things for granted. Every time I turn on a light switch now, I think about that.
Greengram says she's learned a lot since starting the project a couple years ago. Now she's passing those lessons on. And Thea Agnew-Benben is taking notes. She's in charge of the city's project. When people from In Our Backyard said they wish their houses were just a little bigger, she worked that into the city's plan. There are other takeaways, too. She's applying them to a much bigger project, up to 30 tiny homes that the city hopes to open later this year.
We really need all of our community to come together to be willing to try out these new approaches, learn together, bring their resources to the table. You know, that's really what In Our Backyard did, and we're really wanting to catalyze that even in a much bigger way.
The city is also planning to serve a different population with its tiny homes. There are a lot of application requirements for In Our Backyard, which makes it high barrier. But the city's project is low barrier. That way, it can help all sorts of people.
Many people who are unsheltered are experiencing pretty severe behavioral health issues. So that could be that they have a severe mental illness. It could be they have an addiction. It could be they have both.
Agnew-Benben says the tiny homes will be a place for people to stabilize. The end goal is the same, though, for people to move into permanent housing. So far, In Our Backyard has moved just one person into permanent housing. But Greengram says that's a success.
He's just happy, you know. He's 76 years old, and he was homeless. And he's just happy and safe and walks a lot and watches old movies on the History Channel.
Several other people are also close to making that transition. Greengram says watching them work toward that goal makes her incredibly proud. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Floor.
Southeast sunshine yesterday was one for the books, literally. Multiple towns in the region reached record high temperatures. The highest highs were in Yakutat and Juneau, which both reached 81 degrees. That broke Yakutat's 1996 daily record by nearly 10 degrees and tied Juneau's 1982 record. Temperatures also broke or matched records in Haines, Gustavus, and Kluwak. National Weather Service meteorologist Grant Smith says it's important to track record-breaking days.
So when we see these extremes, yes, it's impressive. And if we see more of them in a shorter amount of time, then yeah, it could mean something.
Over decades, he says, that data can help tell the story of how the local climate is changing. This year, Alaska updated its heat advisory levels to match how temperatures feel in northern latitudes. In Southeast, a forecast of 80 degrees now triggers a heat advisory. Juneau just had its first one. The new advisories reflect that hot weather feels hotter here.
The sun angle is so much higher, so all that light energy is much more direct on us, on the concrete, on our skin.
Smith describes it as a flashlight shining down on a table. When it's shining directly down, the light is concentrated in a small circle, so it's more intense. And that's what Alaska's like in the summer. When the flashlight is angled, it shines a large cone at a much lower intensity. And that's what we experience in the winter. Monday's heat gave way to clouds and rain across much of southeast Alaska today. And currently, it's 60 degrees and overcast in Juneau. There's a 100% chance of rain the rest of this afternoon. Tonight, it might taper off a little bit. It lowers to 80%. Tomorrow, there's a 50% chance of rain. The rest of this week looks similar, with chances of rain each day and temperatures between the high 50s and the high 60s. And we're getting 16 and a half hours of daylight a day these days. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.